Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis 18, I would tell you this, I don't think there'll be anything to be like, wow, man, I've never seen that before. There are some principles and there's some things in the scripture that we just need to hit again. And a lot of folks say, man, there's a lot of things I don't understand about the Bible. This is what I figured out, Brother Harold. There's enough that I do know that I have a hard time with. I don't worry about stuff I don't know. And there's a lot of things in here that God reminds us of. And I've sort of been, since Wednesday night, sort of been talking about this friends deal. And I told you this morning, probably be the most negative one, and I believe it will be. As we look, that Lot was a friend of Sodom. Or you could put in parentheses, out beside of Sodom, of course, the world. And the Bible tells us numerous times, numerous places there. James 1:27 tells us to be unspotted from the world. And in 1 John 2:15, he said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. So there's a lot of warnings when it comes to being a friend of the world. And then James 4:4 lets us know that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. Now again, you can survive. You can survive if you have enemies down here as long as it ain't God. I mean, you can survive. But if God is your enemy, man, you're going to struggle in this life and after this life. I can assure you of that. You know, there's three homes that all of us ought to have. We ought to have a Christian home. Now, I understand not everybody had that privilege. I did. I had a Christian home growing up, and everybody ought to benefit from that. Amen. Everybody ought to have a church home. lot of folks don't put a lot of emphasis on the local church. 95% of the references in the New Testament have to do with a local assembly, like the church in Laodicea, the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Athens, the church in Berea, all the way through the New Testament. 95% of those references has to do with the local church. Jesus loved the local church. As Paul addressed the elders in Acts 20, he told the elders to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, he was talking about the church there in Ephesus. And listen, thank God for Faith Community Baptist Church, and thank God for other Bible-believing churches. And I've made this statement, and I'd say it again tonight, Brother Howard, and we know this is true. Faith Community Baptist Church is not for everybody. It ain't. It's not a bad thing. Doesn't mean that we don't have friends outside these four walls, because we do. Yeah, man, Faith Community Baptist Church ain't the only folks that's going to heaven. Yeah, man. You got to be blood-bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, but thank God for faith. But everybody ought to have a Christian home. Everybody ought to have a church home. Everybody ought to have a heavenly home. The sad reality is not everybody's got a Christian home. Not everybody's got a church home. And those are based on decisions. That final one's based on decision, too. Everybody ought to have a heavenly home. There's only one way to attain that home, and that's to know the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. It's only found in Jesus. Again, ain't many ways to heaven, ain't but one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm thankful for the Word of God, thankful for those homes that we can have, for the Christian home, the church home, and then our heavenly home. Those are some things you better nail down as a child of God. But here, that really has nothing to do with the message tonight. Genesis 18 is where we're going to be looking. Again, we look today that Lot, this morning out of Genesis 19, Lot was a friend of Sodom. But tonight we're going to look at Abraham. Abraham wasn't a friend of Sodom. He was a friend of the Savior. And he sure was. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible lets us know this. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you, Lord, again for the good singing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for its ministering spirit to our heart. God, I pray this prepared our heart for the preaching of your word. I pray that you'd help this feeble preacher now to decrease that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. I pray that you'd honor your word. Help us, Lord, to draw a little closer to you. Help me to decrease that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. We're going to thank you in advance for what you do in this service tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say him. Amen. Well, Abraham was a friend of the Savior. You say, well, now how do you know that? Well, in James chapter 2, in verse number 23, the Bible said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, the other day, we were in Hebrews chapter number 11. We think about Enoch. He had this testimony before he was translated that he pleased God. I don't know much of a better testimony than what Enoch had. He had a testimony before he departed from this life that he pleased God. Well, here Abraham, we're told in James chapter number 2, in verse number 23, that he was called the friend of God. Man, what a testimony that is. And that sort of allows us to parallel ourselves. You know, the Word of God is like a mirror that we look into, and you can see if you got dirt on it. Some of you can see if your hair is out of place. I don't really have that big of an issue with that. Somebody said, man, you need to put on a hat, your head's red. Well, listen, I wear that sombrero all the time. I don't know. I guess I get sunlight maybe driving down the road. Maybe it comes through. But I don't just stand outside just to try to get my head soaked up because I ain't got much protection. But those of you that do have hair, or if you got dirt on your face, you look at the mirror and it shows the problem that's there. Hey, the Word of God will do the same thing. It'll show where our issue, where we're lacking and where we need help. Hey, you need encouragement, God's Word will do it. You need rebuke, God's Word will do it. You need exhortation, you need rebuke, you need any of that, God's Word will do that. But when we look at that, would you be labeled a friend of God? Would you be labeled to have the testimony that Enoch had before the translation, before he left this world, that he pleased God? That's a question you got to answer. But it's based on the decisions we make in life. Now, here tonight, Genesis 18, we're going to look at this whole chapter, Genesis 18, and we're going to deal with Abraham. Now, we were in chapter 19 dealing with Lot. Now, it's interesting. There's three men in Genesis 18 that appeared to Abraham, and there were two men that appeared to Lot in Genesis 19. Now, the Lord is present with Abraham, but the Lord didn't show up to Lot, but those two angels did. God wasn't comfortable enough to be there around Lot. Why? Because he was a friend of Sodom. He was a friend of the world. Hey, you ought to want to make sure that God is pleased and wants to be around us. Yeah, man, this word, that'll preach itself right there. But I want you to notice here in Genesis 18, there's several things about Abraham being called a friend of God. We're going to label him the friend of the Savior. Abraham demonstrated this fact, I believe, in at least three ways. He done it publicly, he done it privately, and he done it prayerfully. And we'll look at those things tonight. Notice the scripture in verse number 1. When we think about Abraham, the friend of the Savior, the friend of God, notice here, and the Lord appeared unto him, and that him was none other than Abraham. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. It's interesting, verse number 1 said, the heat of the day. It wasn't the best time for folks to travel. They would travel early in the morning. They would travel late in the day. But this is in the heat of the day. These three visitors come. And one of these visitors, as the word of God said in verse number 1, is none other than the Lord. Now there is something that in the study of theology, there's something that's called a theophany. You say, what is that? Well, that is a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. Sometimes we call him the angel of the Lord. Well, this is one of these moments where the Lord Jesus Christ appeared here unto Abraham. Why did he do that? Well, James hit it on the head in chapter number 2. He was called the friend of God, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham here at the heat of the day. Now, notice what he did. Now, keep in mind, Abraham is 99 years old when this takes place. Now keep in mind, during the heat of the day, 99 years old, these three appear, one of them being the Lord. Look at verse 2 again. And lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran. 99-year-old speed. He ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. You say, man, I'm 70 and I have trouble getting down. Abraham bowed down. Abraham ran during the heat of the day and he bowed down. Now, I encourage you, you can go back and you can look in chapter 14 and verse number 14. At this particular time, and Abraham had more than that now, but there was 318 servants that were born in his house. Brother Jamie, he had 318 servants at the least. He could have called and said, hey, you run to these servants, or you run to these three, to the two angels and the Lord, and you bow down yourself unto. He didn't do that. He did it himself personally. Now, why did he do that? Well, he was a friend of the Savior, and he's demonstrated publicly. Here he goes out, and he's ministering in three ways. Publicly, he's going to minister to the Lord. Privately, he's going to minister to his family. And then prayerfully, he's going to minister unto the folks in Sodom, and more specifically, his nephew named Lot. But personally, he runs to meet the Lord and these two angels, and he bows himself. Did you know that you and I, and we better get this if we're going to do anything for God. We think about what John said in John 3 and verse number 30, and it's still true. If we want to be successful in any kind of ministry, whatever it is, we better get this principle. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, must increase, but we must decrease. It ain't about me, and it ain't about us. It's about Him. And we better figure that out. But we better figure out this principle. We better learn to worship the Lord. We better serve the Lord first. In order for us to serve others, we got to serve the Lord ourselves personally. Does that make sense? Abraham, when he sees the Lord at 99 years old in the heat of the day, get it now, he runs unto him and he bows down. You say, well, man, he might have had some back problems. He might have, but he bowed down unto the Lord there in verse number 2. But look at verse 3. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Now, boy, what a contrast. between chapter 18 and chapter 19, what we looked at this morning. You remember when the two servants or the two angels came unto them, Brother Harold? The Bible said Lot, in verse number 3 of chapter 19, pressed upon the angels to come into the house. Why? Because he knew the environment in which he lived. There needed to be safe to get inside of his house. That wasn't a problem here around Abraham. But Abraham personally went out and ministered unto the needs. And publicly, we could say, man, yeah, he's a friend of God because he's serving the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. Look at verse 16. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. And boy, that fine meal, that would have been a precious commodity during the day. Wouldn't that all clumped up stuff? Fine meal, knead it, and make cups, cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran, there he is running again, unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Look at verse 8. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And the only time he stopped was when the Lord, when he had finished serving the Lord, and those two angels, notice, and he, that's Abraham, stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Abraham ran, you see that. And notice, he didn't give God the crumbs, Brother Harold. He gave God the best. That's a great principle for you and I today. I understand we're in the Old Testament, Genesis 18. I get all that. But there's principles for you and I. God's not interested in second hand. He wants the best. Oftentimes, and I remember I used that during Vacation Bible School one time. Brought a big pie. We probably made a mess up here, I'm sure. It was either some kind of cake, and we cut slices, and I give, every one of them had a sign. One of them was work, one of them was sleep, one of them was job, one of them was recreation, one of them was TV, one of them was phone. And there was about 10 of those, and every one of them got a piece, and then the last one was God. And the last one, all that was left, they wasn't a piece, it was just crumbs. And oftentimes, that's the way we do. Well, if I have anything left over, Lord, I'll give it to you, man. He's worthy of getting our very best. And Abraham understood the principle of worshiping God and serving the Lord early on. Now, he served a lot of people, but he had to learn how to serve the Lord first. It's worth hitting again, too. If we're going to be successful, it doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a pastor, if you preach, if you're deacon, it makes no difference. A Vacation Bible School worker, you'll never be able to lead until you're first able to be led. Now, get that. You won't be able to lead until you're first willing to be led. Well, who's going to lead us? Well, listen, the Lord's got to lead us, but we got to learn how to worship Him. And this was a public display that Abraham was a friend of the Savior. And we see that unfolding. And you could say that he was given to hospitality. Now, it's encouraging this too. You can go into the New Testament. And I guess the last time we were in there was probably when we were ordaining Brother Evan. We were there when we were ordaining Brother Cameron. And probably was there when we was ordaining Brother Brandon. Probably there when I was ordained, no doubt. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, and this is in reference to the bishop, which is also overseer and pastor, translating. In verse number 2, one of the requirements, Brother Harold, is for that individual to be given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Abraham had that trait, to be hospitable unto the Lord, you know. And it sort of goes without saying. You know, when we come to the house of God, I hope it ain't to be seen, really. And get this, I hope you don't just come to see the preacher. I hope you don't just come to see the singers. Man, it ought to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. And sometimes we need to rein this thing back in, because sometimes we come with the wrong motivation. We come with the wrong mindset. We come with the wrong spirit. Hey, listen, He's the one that is supposed to have the preeminence. He's the one that marched Calvary's cross, suffered, bled, and died so you and I could be set free. The choir just sang about it. Thank God there's no condemnation. Nation out. Why? Not because of me, but because of Him. As we come, man, we got to have the mindset. We're serving the Lord. Amen. We serve with our giving. We serve with our worship. We serve with our singing, with our voices, even in hospitality. And we see that Abraham was certainly hospitable unto these two angels. But not only Do I see him as the friend of the Savior? And it's revealed publicly here as these angels came in. Abraham done it personally. He didn't get the 318 servants that was born in his house, according to Genesis 14:14. Himself went and ran and stooped down and bowed down and ran and got that young and tender calf. He gave God the very best. But notice, not only did he do this publicly, I believe it shows a display that he was a friend of the Savior, but we see this privately. Notice, as we read on, we start dealing with his family in verse number 9. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." Now keep in mind, Abraham is 99. Sarah is 89 at this particular time, Brother Brandon. And they said, "Where is she?" Well, she's in the tent. Look at verse 10. And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now again, they've already been given the promise that the seed is going to come through their lineage. But they hadn't been given the promise yet. They've heard it, but now it's come to pass. The angel of the Lord said, "Hey, about this time next year, you're going to give birth to a son." Well, Sarah wasn't there visually, but she was there audibly. She heard what was going on. What was her response? Probably the same thing you'd have thought. Look at verse 11. "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age," again 99 for Abraham, 89 for Sarah. "And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?' And the Lord," again not an angel, "and the Lord said unto Abraham, 'Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?'" Well, I love verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now that'll preach, won't it? Why did she laugh? She said, "Well, you know what? I'm already past that age of childbearing. Abraham's 99, I'm 89, and she laughed within herself. But now notice, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." Boy, ain't it fun when the Lord calls our own bluff? And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." A lot of folks say, "Well, I didn't say that. I didn't think that." God said, "Yeah, you did. You said it. You thought it. You did. No, I really did. Yeah, you did." Sometimes we try to blow that off, but boy, God hit her where she was. Look at verse 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way." Now watch this. "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Notice verse 19, here it is. "For I know him." Who said that? The Lord did. The Lord said, "For I know him." I know Abraham. How did he know him? Because he's a friend of the Savior. Publicly, he's ran out and he's shown hospitality unto the two angels and unto the Lord. He gave God his best. But now privately, Abraham is going to work in his own home. How do you know? Look what the Bible said in verse 19. "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Now, why could God say that? I'll tell you why God could say that. Because privately, Abraham was a friend of God. He's going to make a difference in his children's lives for the cause of Christ. Amen. There's an interesting verse there. Look at verse 17. I'll just hit this. And this, there's about four or five messages in this. The Bible said in verse 17, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" I'd ask you this. Does God reveal things to us, or does he hide it from us? What's some things God will hide from us? It's a good question to ask, ain't it? God asked the question, Brother Brandon, "Shall I hide this thing from Abraham?" And then he went on, "No, I'm going to tell him." And he did tell him. Why? Because he was a friend of God. He knew that he could handle it. He knew Abraham. And he knows us too. He knows what we're going to do as well. And I'm telling you what, we ought to live a life close enough. And sometimes God will give us some special, not new revelation, but I'm talking about within the confinement of the Word of God. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I had a dream last night. Well, quit eating that pizza so late. Amen. Well, that onions. Amen. I tell you what, I'll trust the Bible any day. I'll tell you what dreams will get you. Dreams will get you David Koresh. Amen. Sure will. That's what that was birthed out of. But I tell you what, the Word of God will never lead you astray. A dream will. But I'm glad the Word of God and the Spirit of God will never do that. I got to move on. I'm just saying, God chose to reveal some things to him because privately, he's going to instruct his family. He's going to instruct his children. Boy, I ought not tell this. Christy ain't in here, but I guess I got to tell. Here a while back. Now listen, y'all take this as a grain of salt now. All right, hang on. She's probably back there listening. She's saying, oh, Lord, what's he going to say now? Now, if many of y'all know Lou Ray and Dab over here in Fort Bush area. And we were on the hunter safety team. And I don't know what we was even talking about one day. And Christy wouldn't, she wouldn't, but I always give her a hard time. Well, Christy and Lou Ray. But that particular day, I was working on Lou Ray. And I said, she was talking about her husband, Larry, something that I don't even know what this is. I said, well, you know, I said, Sarah called Abraham Lord. She said, uh-uh. I said, you read your Bible. I said, Sarah called Abraham Lord. It's sort of like the Christmas or the Easter deal. The only time your husband or you can get by calling your husband master was then. The only time your son can call you woman was during that when he was playing the angel. But Christy was sitting there at Mount Olympus one day, and I said, listen, just because here come Lou Ray, and I said, please just follow me. I said, just say Lord. So when she came up, Lou Ray said, well, I'm ready to hear what Christy called. Because I said, yeah, Christy calls me Lord all the time. Just like Sarah called Abraham. And boy, Christy did it. And I mean, I thought Lou Ray was going to fall in the floor. But in all reality, now listen, I say that facetiously. Christy does not call me. We call the Lord Jesus Christ. But Sarah called him Lord, and that's what the Bible said. But privately, he was a friend of God. He done it publicly. He worshiped the Lord. He ministered unto the Lord. He done it privately because he ministered unto his home and his children. But there's a third aspect to this, and this is where I want you to see. He certainly was a friend of God prayerfully, and he ministered unto the folks in Sodom and also unto Lot. Look with me in verse number 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now look at verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. All right, the Lord didn't go. Now stay with me right here. Everybody watch this now. The two angels went on marching toward Sodom. God said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham? He said, no, I'm not going to do that because I know he's going to teach his children. So he begins to tell them, hey, I'm going down. I'm going to inspect, basically, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to inspect Sodom. And if what I find is all this wickedness, I'm going to destroy it. So the two angels march on towards Sodom. But look at the last part of verse 22. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Here he is. He's standing before the Lord, two angels going on, and you'll find them in chapter 19 showing up at Lot's house. But the Lord didn't go with them, but the two angels did. Now look at verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So he's interceding on behalf of Lot and on behalf of the people of Sodom. Now the scripture goes on to say in verse 24, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So we look at Abraham. He's not appealing, Brother Harold, to the mercy of God. He's not appealing to the mercy of God. He's appealing to the justice of God. He says, God, shall the righteous be destroyed with the wicked? He said, what if there's 50 righteous? Will you spare the city? Look at verse number 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Look at verse number 27, Abraham answered and said, well, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Abraham knew his place. He was a friend of God. He knew his standing. He was made of the dust just like you and I. Again, we can't boast about anything at all, but he comes back unto the Lord in verse 28, peradventure. There shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. So God said, all right, if I find 50, if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom, I won't destroy them. So Abraham brought it down five more. What if verse 45? God said, all right, verse 45, I won't destroy it. Verse 29, and he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will do it for 40's sake. He said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. He said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, well, behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Now, have you ever wondered why he kept saying 50, 45, 40, 30, 20? He was so in tune with God that he knew, Abraham knew, that there wasn't 50. He knew there wasn't 45. He knew there weren't 40. That's why we often say, and I've said this, of course, you look and about discrimination. We better discriminate over some things. Yeah, man. Bible said you better try the spirits whether they be of God. There's some things that we can, and so you better do some inspecting in this thing called life. Amen. You better test it, and God will give you some inclination to it, but you got to be close to Him. Look at verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Prayerfully, Abraham proved that he was a friend of the Savior. He wasn't there to condemn Sodom. He was there to pray on behalf of Lot. He had one person in mind. You can go to chapter number 11, verse number 27. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And the Bible said Haran begat Lot. And then in Genesis 11 and verse number 28, the Bible said, and Haran died before his father Terah. So basically what happened was, Abraham took his nephew Lot under his wing in chapter number 12. And we see that. And in chapter 13, he went down into Egypt, and that's where he got his first glimpse of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And boy, it got on his heart, and he had to have it. But we see that Abraham was a friend of the Savior. Publicly, when the Lord showed up in those two angels, he didn't send those servants. According to Genesis 14 and 14, those 318 that were born in his house, he didn't send a one of them. He ran unto the Lord in the heat of the day at 99 years old. He bowed down his face unto the Lord. He gave God the very best. He gave him that milk and that butter and the finest calf. There was tender and brought the very best to God. And again, if we're going to be successful in ministry, we better learn to worship and minister unto the Lord first before we're able to minister unto others. And he proved that he was a friend to God publicly, but then privately, his own home. The Bible said, the Lord said, I know him. I know he's going to instruct. I know he's going to teach his children in the way that they should go, proving that he was a friend to God. And then he done it prayerfully. A time when Abraham could have got on Lot and said, well, bless God, Lot, you shouldn't have did that. Those two angels went on toward Sodom. God has just revealed unto Abraham. He didn't hide it from him. He said that was going to be destroyed. And the first thing that went on his mind, Brother Danny, I believe, was Lot, his nephew that he had raised up and reared up. Had they had some problems? Had there been some strife along the way? Sure there was. But he still loved him. The Bible said he stood before the Lord and interceded on his behalf. And Lot, I believe, of course, the Bible said, 2 Peter we read this morning, 2 Peter chapter 2, he was a just man. He didn't look like a just man coming out, but I believe part of the reasons he was spared because he had a godly uncle that interceded on his behalf. Amen. And he was a friend of God. If we could ever get this concept, our relationship with God can impact our family. And it does impact. Listen, the lack of a relationship with God will impact your family and those around you. But boy, it pays to be a friend of God. Now this morning, we look, Sister Savannah's coming. Lot was a friend of the world. Now God said, we don't need to be a friend of Sodom. We don't need to do that. But a lot of folks are a friend of the world. Again, God said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It tells us that 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. We don't need to be a friend of the world. We do need to be a friend of the Savior. And boy, there's some things in there we ought to prove our love publicly, privately, and prayerfully. There may be somebody on your heart you need to intercede on behalf of. Somebody that's lost, maybe somebody out of the will of God. Well, preacher, what great difference can I make? Abraham was one man. Can I tell you, he's made out of the same flesh I am, same flesh you are. Don't minimize what you can do for God. Amen. You can make a difference being the friend of God. Are there some things he has to hide from you because you can't take it? Or does he know you? Can he reveal those things to you because you are the friend of God? Boy, it pays to stay close unto the Savior. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, now I love you. Lord, I praise you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand one more time and preach your word. Now, God, would you help me in this department? Lord, as Abraham was called the friend of you, Lord, you instilled some things in him. You instructed him. You showed him some things because he proved himself faithful. Lord, I pray for every person under the sound of our voice. If there's one listening, never been saved, never been born again, God, may tonight be the night of salvation. But I pray for those that may need to do some interceding on behalf of somebody else. Lord, I see numerous times in the Bible where that intercession made a big difference. Lord, I'm glad we got the Spirit. I'm glad we got the Savior interceding on our behalf. I'm thankful for the saints of God that are friends to the Savior, that intercede and make a difference in the lives of others. God, would you move in a mighty way tonight? We'll be careful to give you thanks and give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.